Hey guys, hope you're all doing well. Such a blessing to share with you what the Lord has laid on our hearts for the church. And today I would like to speak about taking our thoughts captive and the importance of us really understanding that the enemy is out to get us. We are currently in warfare, and Satan is active, he's alert, he's relentless, and he's really just out to get us and to sidetrack us from what the Lord has called us. And 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." Now, it says that we need to be sober-minded. So that means that we need to be calm, collected in spirit, self-controlled, and free from mental or spiritual intoxication. So it says that we need to be so focused on Jesus in our mind to make sure that we can be watchful and be alert, for the devil is out to get us. His mission is to kill, steal, and destroy. His mission is to absolutely sidetrack us from what the Lord has for us. And often we'll think it's only the physical things, but really where the battle is fought is in our minds. And often where Satan will sidetrack us by putting thoughts in our minds that we eventually start thinking about so much that it will start overwhelming us. And that's why it says that we need to be sober-minded and then be watchful, for the enemy is out to kill, steal, and destroy us. John 10 verse 10 says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, and I came that they may have life and life in abundance." So being a Christian doesn't mean that we're actually exempted from war. The question is whether we're willing to fight or just remain passive as Christians. As soldiers, we can't close our eyes and pretend the enemy's not coming. It doesn't mean that the enemy is not realistically still there, but we need to be aware, as the scripture said, that we need to be alert. We need to be watchful. And the reality is, we all struggle with anxiety. We all struggle with fear and sin and spiritual battles. And then often we'll think it's personal failure, which can eventually end up in that. But we all struggle with the battle of our mind. And it's important for us to understand spiritual warfare. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3 to 5 says that, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ." So a stronghold is a thought or a pattern, a belief, or a mindset that opposes God's truth and keeps a person in bondage. So that means that it's anything that's been placed in our mind, a lie or a belief system that's actually against the very truth of the Lord. And that becomes a stronghold, because what happens is when we believe a lie, whether that's fear or anxiety or just lies over our lives, we actually place that higher. We make that a stronghold, actually a high place in our life, and we believe that above the very truth of God. When we look at Jesus, it's completely the opposite. In John 8 verse 31 to 32, Jesus says, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" So now we're looking at strongholds by believing lies of the enemy. That is actually creating us to be captured and to be in a stronghold, where Jesus said that if we believe in the truth will set us free. So it's completely the opposites. Now, that is why it's easy for the devil to plant lies in our heads, because we're just living in a very broken world. And it's so much easier for us as believers to rather believe a lie than to believe the truth. It's easier for us as human beings to fall towards the negative than the positive. So often in business, we would say you can have 15 good clients, But one bad client, one bad review can actually pull your business down. And it's exactly how the world works. We tend to focus more and to lean towards the negative instead to lean towards the truth that will set us free. Ephesians 6 verse 10 to 12 says, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." So it says that we need to put on the armor of God so that we can stand against the schemes of the devil. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." So but the Bible is saying to us that spiritual warfare is not physical. It is absolutely spiritual. It is thoughts, it's lies, and it eventually just becomes the stronghold in our life. The Bible says that we fight with spiritual weapons. And the weapons that God has given us to fight is the Word of God. That is the very thing that Jesus used when Satan tempted him during his time of fasting, is the Word of God. It's the name of Jesus, which is the name above each and every other name. And it's the blood of Jesus. So nothing of the enemy can come against that. The Word of God, the name of Jesus, and the blood of Jesus. And unfortunately, we as Christians, we can't opt out of the fight. We can't say, "Listen, I'd rather not." We don't have a choice in this warfare. The warfare is there, and we will have to either fight and be effective in God's kingdom and in our spiritual growth and fight where it matters, as the Bible says, not against flesh and blood, but to fight the devil where it actually matters. Or actually, if we do not fight, if we decide I'd rather be passive, we surrender territory to the enemy. And fighting in a spiritual level is basically breaking down strongholds. In the ancient war times, when a soldier, when the army attacks a city, one of the main places that they attack first is the high places and the strongholds. And often that is what happens when we do spiritual warfare. We actually go to the high places in our life and we fight against that and we pull down strongholds. Paul actually emphasizes that the mind is a battlefield. So if we just look at the power of the mind, what we have to understand, a city without walls can easily be infiltrated. A city that's built without walls can easily, so the enemy can anytime just attack, gain ground, and just take over and run over the city. So one thing that we have to understand is we have to understand the power of the mind, because a mind that's uncontrolled is actually like a city without walls. So Matthew 22 verse 37 says, "And he said to them, you shall love the Lord with all your heart and with your soul and with all your mind." So Jesus puts emphasis on the fact that we need to love the Lord with all our mind. So that means that everything that's going in on our mind needs to be fully devoted to the Lord. It needs to fully love God, fully be surrender to the Lord. And Romans 12 verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." So it says that we can't be conformed, but we need to be transformed by renewing our mind. So understanding the power of the mind is very important in spiritual warfare, because that is often where the devil just creeps in and tempts us and tests us and put lies that we often believe that eventually creates strongholds, that eventually creates and determines the outcome of our life. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." So an undisciplined mind, as I previously said, it's like a city without walls. If we do not allow the Lord to completely transform us by renewing our minds, it's like an unfortified city where the devil can just come in and attack. Now, statistics shows that 85% of things people worry about never actually happen. 85% of what people worry about never happen. 50% of worries that did happen, many people found that they were handled, that they handled the situation much better than they expected, or they learned something valuable from it. So this means overall about 97% of worries, either unnecessary or manageable. So it shows that 97% of the things that goes on in our mind is either unnecessary or manageable, but it completely overwhelms us. 85% of worries doesn't actually occur. But that is how the enemy comes. You know, the one sermon that Jesus preached in Matthew 5, where he did not use parables, was the importance of us not worrying. And that is why, the reason why Jesus preached it, because Jesus understood the power of our minds and how that can actually completely dictate our life if we give ourselves over to the worries of this life. Now, it's easy to identify whether our thoughts are captive or not, and what's happening with our thoughts. Have we actually built up strongholds or allowed strongholds in our lives from the enemy? And that is through anxiety. If you struggle with constant anxiety and constant worry, it means that that's a form of your thoughts not being captive. If you question God all the time about everything, if you question God's promises of your life all the time, if you fear about the future, if there's a lot of unbelief in your heart, you question everything, that's often signs that you have not taken your thoughts captive. And I think this is something that we all struggle with. I struggle with quite severe anxiety at a time. And the anxiety attacks that I had was so severe that it felt like heart attacks. So it was extremely overwhelming in the moment. And then up until a point where I actually surrendered everything to the Lord, and the Lord removed that anxiety and that intense fear of what might happen from my life. Isaiah 26:3, this is just an absolute beautiful picture. It says, Isaiah 26:3, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So this is just absolutely beautiful. You keep him, you keep the person in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, a mind that's stayed on the Lord. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. Some scripture says timidity and fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So God has not given us the spirit of fear. So when we are overwhelmed by fear, it is not from the Lord. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So I have an amazing veggie garden. I'm so proud of my veggies. It's such a blessing to be able to grow things and to eat out of your yard. I love the idea of that. But one thing that I do often, every morning, I'll actually walk through the garden and I'll identify when there's weeds. And then I'll say to my faithful gardener, Lloyd, I'll say, Lloyd, we need to remove the weeds. Because if we do not remove the weeds, but it will actually do, it will dominate the garden and it will just choke everything that's growing there. And in our minds, if we do not remove the weeds, it will completely choke the truth of God. It will completely take over and dominate our hearts. So we need to pay attention to negative thoughts and fearful thoughts. They are signs that the enemy is trying to hold onto your mind to create strongholds. Now, the danger of not taking your thoughts captive. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. An undisciplined mind leads to destruction, to emotional instability, and to sin. Guard your heart above all else. In Nehemiah 4, it talks about the Israelites rebuilding the wall because it was an unfit, it was a city without walls. So it was an unfortified city. And how they did it is they would build with one hand and have a sword in another, because they understood the importance of having the wall, fortifying the city. We as believers need to understand the importance of having a healthy mind, of taking thoughts captive. And if not, how easy it is for Satan to infiltrate our hearts and our minds. So how to take our thoughts captive? This is quite practical, but this is how we can take our thoughts captive. We need to identify lies in our life. We need to identify. We need to be aware of what are the thoughts that we're believing that's actually contrary to the word of God, contrary to the promises and the truth of God. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. So we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. We need to demolish the strongholds. So we need to take the lie, we take it captive, and we make it obedient to Christ by identifying it and replacing it with God's truth. How often do we say, I'm not good enough. God doesn't care about me. I will fail no matter what. I'm not loved. How often do we say that? Now, when we say those things and we believe it, we need to identify the lie. And then we need to recognize the effect that it will have on our faith. When we believe a lie above God's truth, it will affect your faith. It will affect your boldness to actually hear the Lord, because your mind is overwhelmed by lies of the enemy. Because we're giving him ground, because we're not actively busy with spiritual warfare. So I want to encourage you guys, just for a moment, to take your phones and just write down all the lies that you believe, that you can identify right now over your life. So just think quickly. I'm not good enough. God doesn't see me. I will fail. I'm controlled by fear. And then simple things like, I will never be able to lose weight. I will never be able to manage my finances well. I will always be alone. And then what we do is we take those lies and then we go and look for scripture that actually speaks the truth. So if you say that I'm always alone, then we need to remember that God is Emmanuel with us. God with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He will always be with us. Romans 8 talks about nothing can separate us from his love. And then we meditate on those scriptures to continuously start infiltrating our minds in order for us to be transformed, in order for us to change the way, the patterns that we think by believing the truth. So we take the lie and we counter it with God's truth. And then we meditate on the truth. So every time I feel like I'm alone, I remind myself, thank you, Lord, that you promised me that you'll never leave me nor forsake me, that you're always with me. And then you meditate on that and you continuously say that until you start believing the truth. 2 Corinthians 10:6 says, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. So it says that even though we have now taken our thoughts captive, after our obedience is complete, we need to be ready to punish every disobedience. So it says that be vigilant, be sober-minded, be watchful, because even though we have victory in certain areas in our life, the enemy is still walking around seeking those to devour. He will not stop. So it says that when we take thoughts captive, when we have taken a line, we actually completely demolished it and actually believe the truth now and have victory. We've taken ground in our minds. It says, be ready to punish every disobedience, every stronghold that's in contrary to God's truth. Be ready to take that, because the enemy will continuously come to attack. He does not sleep. He does not rest. His main purpose in life is to kill, steal, and destroy. For that reason, we need to be ready to punish every disobedience, every thought that goes against the truth of God. That's disobedience. So even after this victory, be vigilant, be watchful, be sober-minded, be focused on the truth of God. And then we need to fill ourselves with God's word. We can't have victory in spiritual warfare if we do not understand the word of God. The word of God is one of the main weapons we use against the enemy. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, "For the word of God is living and it's active and is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of our heart." It says that God's word is living and active. So the Spirit brings life over God's word. And through that, it actually demolishes the strongholds in our life. When we believe Scripture and we start proclaiming that over our lives, the Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. So in order for us to submit to God, we need to know him. We need to know the word. And then we can resist the devil, and he will flee. And then we need to remember that God has sent his Holy Spirit to help us. We are not alone in this battle. God is constantly with us. When we fall in pornography and we cannot get breakthrough from that, first of all, I want to encourage everyone, if you struggle with an unrepented sin, bring it into the light with your leaders. Bring it to someone who can actually journey this thing through with you. Do not keep it to yourself. But understand that the Holy Spirit is there with us all the time. We need to constantly pray. I pray constantly. I'm like, Lord, help me to believe. Help me in my unbelief, Lord. Help me in my faith, Lord. Sometimes I just fall away. Sometimes I'm like a wave being tossed to and fro. Lord, I pray that you will help me to stand strong, Holy Spirit. Remind me of the scriptures that I've read. And place that, write that on my heart, Lord, so that I only believe you. You know, a mind that's uncontrolled is like, the Bible talks about those who have wavering faith. Faith that is like the waves of the ocean that can be tossed here and there. And it's often because their minds are not on the Lord, on the things of God. They rather believe lies than the truth that the Lord has given us. Then I want to encourage you guys that we need to be persistent in our battle. We need to daily take our thoughts captive. This does not happen once. It is something that sometimes happens hourly in our days. Hourly remind ourselves that I cannot believe these lies. I need to replace it with God's truth. I'm going to remind us again. Romans 12 verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Psalm 1 verse 1 to 3 said, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And he meditates on a day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Meditation means we take a scripture, especially when we believe a lie, and there's a scripture that's actually contradicting the lie, and we constantly, we meditate on that scripture until we feel that it's a part of our being. You know, often when I read the Bible, I would stay on one chapter for weeks because there's something in it that I'm wrestling with. And I will meditate on that scripture until the Lord has completely settled it in my heart and my mind, until I completely believe it. Then I'm like, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you that my mind is being renewed. Thank you that I'm being transformed by your very words, Lord. Biblical meditation is the intentional, focused practice of filling our minds with God's word. It is constantly reflecting on God's word. It's being intentional with filling our minds. Ephesians 6, verse 13 to 18. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and putting on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So it says there's a helmet of salvation for us to be reminded that we need to guard our thoughts, guard our minds, be sober-minded. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert and with all perseverance, making all supplication for all the saints. So it says that even though we've done all those things, keep alert, stay alert. With all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So we need to destroy the arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. That's 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5. Destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised, every lie raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. 1 Peter 1 verse 3 says, therefore preparing your minds for action. So it says, preparing your minds for action. And being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We need to be like soldiers who go to war with weapons. We cannot go to war with our phones and take photos and post it on Facebook. You will get shot and killed. We need to be active in spiritual warfare. Prepare our minds for action and be sober-minded. Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus. We need to fortify our minds with the word of God. I want to end off with this scripture. It says Colossians 3 verse 2 to 4. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Set your minds on the things that are above, not the things on earth. Set your mind on the things above. This is a scripture we can meditate on. Set your mind on things above. Set your minds on Jesus. Take his word. Fill ourselves with his word. Don't be filled with the things of the earth. For we have died and our life is hidden with Christ in God. Our mind is a battlefield. Guys, we have to understand, every thought that we take captive is a victory in Christ in our life. It's gaining territory. So Lord, I just want to pray, Lord, for us as a church. Lord, I pray that we'll continuously take our thoughts captive. Holy Spirit, that you will lead us, that you will guide us, Lord. That we will not be caught up in the things of this world, but that our minds will completely be set on you. Jesus, I thank you that we do not need to do this alone, but that you are with us. Thank you, Lord. I pray that our minds will be fully set on you. Thank you that you promise for peace. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for the promises that you have spoken over us. Thank you that you did not leave us to figure these things out on our own, but that you are for us, Lord. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you that you say that you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Father, I pray for that peace that surpasses all understanding, to fill our hearts and to fill our minds. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.